Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
When you're a performer, it's a funny thing when you're a center stage because you know that once you've chosen to go down a certain path, you have to commit to it.
Yeah. Welcome to Backstage Chicago. I'm Lisa Fielding with WBBM News Radio. And today we're in the Irving Park neighborhood on Chicago's north side, inside Sway Dance. And today we're talking all about burlesque in Chicago, and I'm joined by three wonderful burlesque performance artists. Red Hot Annie, welcome.
Hi there.
Hi, and Dee Dee Dupree.
Hello.
And Darling Shear.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Hello. Hola. We can think of a different ways to say hello. Thanks for joining us today. So I was telling you a little bit before how I decided to kind of talk to you guys about this this art in Chicago. Goes back to a time where I went to a place on the north side called Blue Bayou, and it was Fat Tuesday for Mardi Gras, and apparently I saw Red Hot Annie perform on the bar as part of Fat Tuesday. So I loved that. I thought that was wonderful, and I thought, wow, she's got some skills, and she's on top of the bar, and everyone's loving her right now. Then, fast forward to probably 3 or 4 years, there was another place that just opened in Chicago, and they had this huge burlesque show. And I thought, man, I love this art. And now it's really kind of taking off in Chicago. So tell me a little bit about how each of you got involved in this performance art. And we'll go from there. Annie.
I actually got started through regular theater, and I wanted an opportunity to make my own work, to completely curate my own work, to make my own costumes and have something that I could visit over and over again over the course of time. And what I loved about burlesque at the time was that I would go to these shows and the women who were producing it and directing it and doing all the tech and the women who were on stage who were creating all of their costumes and their own choreography and everything, it just drew me into the sisterhood. And so when I found burlesque, I felt like I found my people. And that's what really drew me into burlesque.
And you said you hadn't had any dance training.
No, I didn't.
And you started at the ripe old age of 27, which isn't old at all. But
well, for a dancer, so that is kind of old. Yeah. And, I considered myself somebody with two left feet at the time. And so learning how to dance through the art of burlesque was really a dream come true for me, because as a child, I would have loved to have taken dance classes. I would have loved for my parents to have seen that artistic part of me and encouraged it. And burlesque gave me that outlet.
Never too late.
You're
a perfect example. Now, darling, you have classical dance in your blood. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how you began as a dancer and kind of how it evolved into this performance art.
I started dancing, it's two parts to that. I started dancing without training, I think at the age of 11 or 12. And I remember performing at a talent show, and all of my friends were like, "We didn't know that you could dance." And then they were like, "Where do you take dance class at?" And I was like, "Well, I don't." And they were like, well, this is crazy. And so then the, it really, like, I guess I really stood out because the faculty at my middle school, they ended up having a conversation with my grandparents, who I was living with at the time, and they wanted me to go to a performing arts high school. And so I found that out, like, I think my eighth grade year. And then it was just like, so y'all have been like plotting this for years now. And so then that's when I got my formal training, which was in high school. And I feel like I'm off right now. Like, I feel like I'm often bad with words. And so, like, it's easier for me to express through movement. And then just my journey through with dance helped me to come to understand that movement is a part of life. And so I was like, okay, this is like, this just feels right. So then cut to me, like, graduating from high school. And I started working with this dance company called Glow ATL. We were doing this crazy, like, they would do a lot of, like, immersive performances, site-specific stuff. And so we were, we had this big performance that was with the Rialto. It started off at the Rialto, which is a well-known concert. And
Juliet.
Yeah. And then it traveled to the Woodruff Park, which is kind of, like, in the downtown, like, area. And it was this, like, performance, parade, procession-like thing. And during that performance, there were a lot of, like, character actors that were, like, we kind of created this town. And one of the actors, her name was Pinky Shear, we ended up, like, making, you know, having conversation and, like, just, like, fell in love with each other. And so she was like, well, I do burlesque, and you should come and, like, check it out. You know, I think you would enjoy it. And I was like, all right. So I started to work with her, and then that she became my burlesque mother. And then that was the what got me into the world of burlesque. And then I think my first burlesque performance actually was at the High Museum, which is like the MCA, but for Atlanta. And I did a recreation of Chocolat, which is it's a dance that Gene Kelly does in American in Paris. And it's like this, and the whole thing was that there was like a big Toulouse-Lautrec exhibit that was happening at the museum. And so they hired them to come in and like recreate different like things. And so that's my beginning.
Wow. That's very cool. Very cool. Did you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into this business?
Mine's not that cool. I'm a little sad now. So I didn't have any dance training, but I was always an actress. Like, I was always a big theater nerd back in high school, always on stage.
I can tell.
And yeah. And I was looking for an outlet to be able to perform, and I didn't quite feel like theater in Chicago was accepting me in the way that I wanted, and I just happened to see an ad by Red Hot Annie looking for someone to help out with the shows. They call it stage kittening, which is when you come and to clear the clothes off the stage and set up props and do all the things like a stagehand would do. And so I started off just as a stagehand, and from there worked my way into classes, worked my way into kind of performing in a sort of JV squad where we just kind of learn the basics of movement and dance and performance and putting yourself out there. The basics of making yourself watchable and how to create a presence on stage, and which was invaluable. It was one of the best times of my life. It was so much fun. And when JV disbanded, I was like, well, I think this is probably my sign. I think it's time for me to actually start branching out on my own. So I began doing my own solo performances probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And so I've just been going around Chicago, taking my clothes off wherever they'll let me.
Famous last words, right? But it's much more than that, of course. Let's talk about, how would you describe burlesque to someone who maybe they know the word but really don't know what it is? I think it's an upper interpretation between all of you, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
The one thing that people don't know. I think people don't know and people don't realize is that there's a lot of satire in burlesque, and it's it's very multifaceted. How because of like the place that it's lumped into with like exotic dance, but it's so much more than that. It has these really beautiful theatrical components, these really great comical components, and I feel like it's like the perfect melding of like the two, where you can go like super vamp, very sexy, but even within that, there still is this like
there's still layers.
Yeah.
There's still ways to create something that's wholly unique and wholly the person. Like they don't have to pretend to be Josephine Baker on stage. They can be, you know, Groucho Marx if they want and still be sexy and really create whatever it is that they feel most speaks to them and then have that speak to an audience. And I think that's really cool.
I would definitely say that part of what I love about burlesque is that it's celebrating what I would consider to be women's sexuality, because so often in our culture we're taught that sexy is if I say this, if I do this, if I wear this, then that person will find it sexy. And burlesque is really aiming to put the artist in the driver's seat. And when the artists are predominantly women, and the show is produced predominantly by women, then you have a really different flavor of what sexuality can be, because women have a very wide and eclectic taste when it comes to sex and sexuality. And so for us, it might be great to have like a wonderful lacy lingerie piece, but it also might be really liberating to have like a rubber chicken that you pull out of your crotch. So that
idea.
So that sense of liberation to me is at the core of what burlesque is. Mm-hmm.
I would have to agree with the evolution of this art as well. And I think the biggest thing I got out of it when I learned more about it was body positivity. Mm-hmm. When you think of striptease, you think of, you know, the men's clubs and things like that. And more often than not, the women that do that sometimes don't look like a normal woman. Mm-hmm. And it becomes this like unattainable species to look like. And I remember seeing, you know, one of you on stage and thinking, that's what I look like. I should be confident enough to do what she does. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that, because mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest message you guys send. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
That's been a big thing for me, because I, as a plus size performer, I get so many women, usually women, who come up to me after the shows and are like, oh, you were so inspiring. It was so amazing to see you on stage doing what you do. And, you know, and you looked so beautiful and it was so wonderful. And I was like, anyone can do it. You know, you have to feel confident in yourself that, you know, you don't have to be the perfect size two. You don't have to be a double D cup. You can get up there in however you are, in whatever place, whatever gender, whatever anything, and just sort of be seen for you. And I think Chicago is really unique in that, because I think some other burlesque communities in other cities and other states aren't quite as body positive as Chicago is. Chicago really has a lot of plus sized performers, a lot of body positivity, and you go somewhere else and it might be more conventionally attractive women. And so that's what I really love about the Chicago
burlesque
scene.
Attractive.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's not even use
plus
size. You know, because this is our size. The average, you know, person is not what you see on television or in the model. I mean, let's talk about the history. Sally Rand, even Marilyn Monroe, they were all like size 16s and ups, you know, and that was normal. And, you know, it's really, society's really, you know, just crushed that. And I think you all help get back to what we should be more healthy as women, as men, as gender identity, whatever, to feeling good about ourselves no matter what size we are. And I don't know, I feel really strongly about that. Mm-hmm. And when I hear plus, I think there shouldn't be plus. We are who we are. Mm-hmm. And you guys are great examples of that.
Yeah, it's interesting, like with that, because I worked in fashion for a while, and one of the things that I would like have a lot of conversations with people about, you know, folks would always, you know, ask me, you know, it's like, especially for like couture shows, they're like, you know, why are these outfits so expensive? And then it's like, and the models are always so thin and whatnot. And then it's just like, well, this is a two-part question to that, because it's like, it is a trade show. You know, it's like people forget about that. It's been blown up into this like big thing. But at the end of the day, it is a trade show, so people can like come and purchase things. And one of those things was because of cost of things. And so you are having garments that are being made where the starting off price for just the uncut fabric is, you know, your average couture gown is starting off at like $500 a yard. And so, and that's not even talking about the more like extravagant, like designers who like, you know, back in the day, your Galliano's, and I mean, also like Dior, you know, back in the day when he, you know, the fact that he did the new look and, you know, was using all that fabric and like, that, you know, those are the things. So like, that's a part of like this thing of like slenderness, like,
to save money.
It was because of saving money.
It's done more damage than
only
you think,
but
you know?
The thing is, only women have to be slender.
Yeah,
we got to save the money on the women's clothes.
Right, right. Right. But I just think that's wonderful. And when I see you guys perform, I think of that right away. And I think you mentioned that some of your audience comes up to you and says, do you get a lot of like, thank you, you had a great, I feel better about myself now, maybe I could do that, that kind of thing. Tell me about your experiences with your audiences.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is that I think a lot of people come into the show not totally sure what to expect. Like maybe they have a little bit of a picture of, you know, Pussycat Dolls or Dita Von Teese or sort of these certain things. But once you actually see a show, and like Dee Dee is saying, really, especially in Chicago, when you see a show and you see people up on stage who are representative of you, it is... it moves you, it changes you. And I think people can't help but to express that verbally, like, you made a difference in my world. You've changed what I think is possible for me. And I think that's huge.
We all have insecurities, I mean, especially. Totally. And something like that really can liberate you on a daily basis, I think. Let's talk a little bit about the history of burlesque. I mean, we were talking about Sally Rand and the fan dances and things like that. And it was really popular, I think, around the 20th, or the, yeah, around the 19th century. And then I would say about 15 years ago, I thought I saw this resurgence in Chicago. And I don't know if I'm right with the historical, you know, I saw it kind of popping up everywhere and saw really cool shows. When did it really take off again here in Chicago? And you found that more cabarets, more clubs, more people were saying, hey, we need to get in on this.
When did burlesque come out?
Yeah, it was burlesque. It was when Burlesque the movie came out. It was like 2011.
Christina
Aguilera. Yeah,
oh, right.
2010, 2011.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I opened my studio right before that Burlesque movie came out, and then people were like, oh my gosh, I want to learn burlesque. So...
And we're in a dance studio. Are there lessons?
Yes, I teach classes here every Tuesday.
Okay, tell me what you need to know or what you don't need to know. Can anyone learn burlesque?
Yes, anyone can learn burlesque. And in fact, I do burlesque parties. So what people will do is they'll invite their closest, you know, friends. Sometimes there's even, you know, teenagers who are learning to love their bodies. So everybody comes and you wear whatever you're comfortable wearing and we put some music on and then you just tap into that part of you that already knows what is sexy, already knows how to connect to other people, and you allow that part to manifest through your beautiful physical body.
And is there any type of style that you each have that you can describe, like a typical performance?
I would say my style is sort of playful and pretty, but a little bit... I don't know, I guess tongue-in-cheek and, yes, satirical.
For me, I oscillate between, like, the facets of Selena Kyle and Catwoman, specifically Michelle Pfeiffer's.
There's a difference.
Very specific.
There's a difference.
Are you Eartha Kitt or are you?
No, it's definitely Michelle Pfeiffer's. Okay. I lick people's faces.
oh, my God. Okay, we have to see this show.
yes, you do.
And then I've been trying to get more silly. I feel like there was a lot. I would get a lot of feedback from people who are like, I was scared to come and talk to you, which, you know, just happens being, you know, being on the stage. Yeah. But I feel like, especially when you're doing the more like super sexy vamped up stuff, like people become really intimidated. And I was like, well, I don't want to like, you know, isolate folk. Cause it's like, I love to like give people hugs and, you know, and so,
and
so,
lick people's faces. Now, did COVID put a damper on that? Probably.
Well, that was definitely the thing. Before. That was like, okay,
a little, when I be able to
start
thing.
Licking people's faces again. And I remember it was July 11th was when I licked my first face. 2021, July 11th.
You remember that?
I do.
Okay, so I do. And did the person receive that well?
They loved it.
Okay. All right, we're thing, at that point. Yeah. That's a good benchmark.
The audience will usually be really involved. If you come into the audience and try to bring them into whatever it is you're doing, they will usually, they're 100% behind it. And they will go along with whatever it is that you're doing most of the time. They love it.
Well, part of burlesque is very intimate.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'm sitting right next to you like I am right now when you're performing.
Yeah.
So the intimacy, you can't help but not be part of it, right?
It's true.
As an audience member?
Yeah. That's true.
Any crazy stories other than, I think you've topped that. Any other crazy stories that come to mind?
Oh, I think if we had long enough, I think we all have quite a few
Anybody
crazy stories.
Like to share right now? Anything come to mind?
Oh gosh.
Did you go home and say, wow, that was a crazy story?
One of my favorite shows was this wonderful live band show, and it was a Valentine's Day show. And I had at the last second made my costume, because that's what you do as a burlesque artist sometimes. And I had found those little tiny Valentine's Day heart boxes that hold the chocolates in it. And I'd taken the tops of the boxes and made a little bra, you know, two little hearts. And then I had actually made a panty that was like a fully functional chocolate box where I take the lid off and then I take a chocolate out of my little chocolate box.
Wow.
And I take a little bite of it, and it was like a chocolate covered cherry. So all of the juice just,
oh no.
And I didn't have anything on except for my little Valentine's Day box bra. And so it splashes all over my face. It dribbles down my chin, and then I ate the chocolate, and then I gave my fingers to someone in the audience. And even as you're doing it, when you're a performer, it's a funny thing when you're a center stage, because you know that once you've chosen to go down a certain path, you have to commit to it.
Yeah.
So your fingers go towards the audience, and you're like, oh my gosh, what if they're like, no way, I don't want to lick your fingers. And fortunately, it was someone I knew.
Okay.
And afterwards, I was like, okay, was that super awkward? And she was like, no, it was fine. I loved it.
Well, so you made, you know, a good situation out of a malfunction. It was a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, it was kind of it was like, you know, everybody saw it happen. They saw me get all juicy, and then it was like, of course they want to be like helpful.
Now you're going to have to integrate that into every time, right?
Yeah. Oh yes, I like it. Well, I mean, being center stage, you are like, it really is goddess energy, because you are really standing there, like letting everybody take you in and watch you. And again, because of the way that our culture works, we don't have a lot of language around what that looks like for a woman to be center stage and like the focal point of adoration. We don't have enough language about that. And so we don't realize how much power she actually has standing there on center stage, and that we do all actually really want to support her and, yeah, lick her fingers clean. Necessary.
So do you guys come up with your own ideas, obviously, and do you kind of change it up with every show, or depending how the audience reacts?
You know, some places there's there's a place, and like sometimes I'll get called the Drifter, which is at the Green Door Tavern.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
And I've been performing there for 5 years now, which I'm like, wow, where did that time go?
Oh yeah.
And I've gotten some feedback from like the person who like does the curation of the show, and they've been like, you do a lot of slow pieces here, and it's like, you know, can you do something a little bit more like up tempo? But I'm in my stocking feet, I'm 5'9". Once I put on heels, I'm like 6'3".
Wonderful.
And then sometimes, yeah, like if I have my fans, that's an, you know, additional like wingspan. And the space is small, yeah, and the stage is not that big. And so like, I love performing there, but also too, it's like, I can't do anything because it is that thing of where it's just like, the audience is literally like right at the bottom of your feet.
Hitting them with your fans or something.
Yeah, I might kick someone, I could fall off the stage, so many things. So it like, you have to shift things from space to space. We've all been through the, you know, places of being like, oh, you know, where's the dressing room? Is the bathroom? Okay, where's the stage? That's the stage? Oh, yeah. Okay.
You have this wall to change costumes behind. Hopefully nobody will come back and peek on you.
Or like, yeah, are you going to mop that first?
Yeah.
The stories I'm sure you guys could tell about the venues you've been.
Performing in a stage. It's about 5 feet wide, wow, and about maybe 6 feet across. And having to make sure that all those elaborate dance moves that you came up with are going to fit into this tiny space. And all of a sudden you're like, oh no, tiny steps, tiny movements. And it's just, but I think it is important to have like a range of acts just for that reason. Like my style, I think, is more sort of sultry, but it vacillates between high energy and slower and sexier. But it's always pretty sultry. And so like I have my high energy, you know, fun dance that will take me across a stage and fill a room. If I'm in a big room, then I have something I can move around. And I have my slower sultry where I'm mostly in a chair and most of my movement is centered around a chair. It's good for a small space. It's good for, you know, that. And so I think every burlesque dancer kind of has a little repertoire of things that they can pull out and be like, okay, this is my space, this is what I'm working with, and this is what I'm feeling today. Let me just see what I have, which performer I'm going to be today.
And that's great for the audience too. Because you never know what you're going to get, right? Mm-hmm. Especially with you.
Oh my God. I think my favorite act, other than like licking people, is a few years ago, I was just like, you know, Christmas music going. And I love like really fun like remixes. And so there's this really cute remix of Everybody's Waiting for the Man with the Bag. And we have been working in nightlife for a long time, and we're familiar with some of the recreational things that people partake in to be able to make it through the evening.
Okay.
And so we developed this act where it's to Everyone's Waiting for the Man with the Bag, where I have a bag full of quote unquote, I'm doing air signs, air quotes, cocaine. And I'm putting it on like every surface and like doing like huge rails just like off of everything, and the piece just gets more and more cracked out until I'm like jittery at the end, and then I like fall on the floor and everyone loves it.
This is hilarious. I'm trying to, you know, imagine that right now. Do you still do that one?
I just did it a few weeks ago. Okay. I did it a few months ago.
Wow.
At the Drifter.
Amazing. Because it was... So I wanted to touch on really quick. We talked about COVID and everything, but during that time, you guys were sidelined, and I know a lot of you turned to virtual and like in person and kind of for hire. What have you found coming back now? Are people just really anxious to be in person and, you know, have their face licked or whatever it is? It sounds crazy, but I'm just saying, like, are people hungry for that in person again? And I'm sure you guys all remember the first time you were back after 18 months or even 2 years, you know? So kind of share that kind of experience over the last couple of years and how.
I did a couple of virtual shows during the lockdown, and just recording an act, just me and a camera, was a strange experience. It was definitely worlds different than having an appreciative audience in front of you, and trying to bring that same energy to a camera was difficult. And so I think my first live performance coming back was just last October. But there was so much energy and so much goodwill, and everyone was just so happy to be in a space with other people again, and so happy to be supporting the artists on stage. Like, it was just such a great crowd, and people were screaming and cheering and, you know, throwing dollar bills. And just, you know, really, I think everyone's just been thirsty for not only connection with other people, but connection from the energy that an artist brings when they're on stage. And so coming back to that has been like coming home for me. Yeah. It's been a really great experience.
And people are coming to the shows again?
Definitely. Great. Yeah, we're selling out a couple of the shows that I've been in. I think they've all sold out.
Wonderful.
They've been, they've had to do some have had to do virtual components where they're also streaming just to make sure that everyone who wants to see the show can see it. And everyone really wants it.
Are these your full-time jobs or do you have other things that you do?
I have a real full-time job.
And you do this kind of at night and the weekends and things like that?
Yeah, it's mostly
But it takes a lot of time probably off the clock to really be creative and figure out the crazy things that you do. How do you wake up one night and say, I think I'm going to fake snorting cocaine? Like, how does that come to your brain?
I work a lot in, I've been, working a lot in clubs and things and that's kind of like a part of it,
yeah.
You know? And so that's just, one of those things that's like a part of club culture, the recreational things. And so I think that was the thing too, that was even more funny about that act is because my friends know I hate cocaine so much. I literally just posted something about it on my Instagram. And it's more so because I'm naturally, I get why people do it. It helps them, stay up. But I'm naturally up.
Naturally
and
intoxicated.
So, that's the thing that, I really don't want to do it because, it just makes me more up. And then I'm like, why am I this up?
Okay, people say that about me, too. But it's also just making fun of the crazy things that happen.
Yeah, nothing's off limits.
Exactly.
Nothing's off limits. It's a great show.
It's a great motto, mm-hmm. Right? Okay, on that note, tell me where we all can, or tell us, the audience, where we can find you guys. Now I want to see all of your performances.
Well, I'm predominantly teaching burlesque parties throwing burlesque parties, which I usually do here at Sway, and that's mostly my focus right now.
So unique.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the days of the Tupperware parties are long gone.
They're long gone.
We must do burlesque parties.
For a burlesque party.
For sure.
Yeah, take a close up with your friends.
I love it.
In the privacy of your own home.
But you did do a lot of performance around Chicago.
Yeah, and I still do a lot of private performances. I love to pop out of a cake at Grandpa's, 80th birthday party. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Oh, man.
Or to break the ice, at your fun basement party. I totally love to be that person who's weaving in between people's feet to dance. That's my idea of a good time. But yeah, mostly I'm focused on, on the parties and just, reminding women of how powerful and strong we are and how we deserve to be in the leadership positions that we're in.
Great. And word of mouth, right?
Absolutely.
Like this, can find out something like that.
Absolutely.
That's so unique and fun. Okay. What about you?
For me, I perform all over. I'm going to be performing with the Fly Honeys. We're at Thalia Hall on June 23rd through the 25th. I'm also in another show called And That's What I Call Grelly. And it's going to be at a Hideout Inn. And that's every Tuesday in April. And then the third Friday and Saturday of April. And this is a very interesting show. It pays homage to actresses from the 70s through the 90s.
Ooh.
And there's different vignettes that recreate scenes from film and clips from interviews and things. But it's taken very seriously, which makes it so hilarious. And this might get bleeped out, but I'm constantly being we are shittiots because it's just so, you're stuff that you're not expecting. And then you're just what did I just see? And then you're just butt gusting, on the floor in tears, laughter.
Great.
So, yeah.
What a great tease. That's great. Speaking of.
So I'm in the middle of developing a new act. So I don't have a performance coming up right away. But if people want to follow me on Instagram, I'm dd.dupree. And I always post about upcoming shows. I post about friends exhibits and works. And so if you follow me, dd.dupree on Instagram, then you will definitely find out where I'm performing next.
How many of you think are in Chicago that do this? Would you
over 100.
There's definitely over 100.
More than that, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
More than 100.
There's still people that I've been doing burlesque in Chicago for 10 years, and I started actually with this lovely being to my
left. So we're all connected.
when I first moved back, I was looking for like places to go, and the two names that like kept coming up was Annie and then Michelle Lemoore. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to Annie's
exit.
Yeah, exit.
Exit the punk rock bar.
Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah, exit. Picture mm-hmm. of us. I still have that picture mm-hmm. of us of like the first night that we met. And then yeah, I was like, yeah, scooching with Vodzilla for like probably like 5 years.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
a long time.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you guys are delightful, and I can't wait to see all of your shows. And I think people, if they want a unique night out and escape, this is the way to go. Mm-hmm. I'm a big advocate. Thanks so much for joining me today. We have Red Hot Annie, and we have Darling Shear, and we have Dee Dee Dupree. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you,
for Chicago.
This. Thank you.
Coming up next week on Backstage Chicago, it's considered the premier sci-fi fantasy production company in North America, and it's tucked away inside a storefront in Wrigleyville. Walk into the Otherworld Theater, and you're literally transported to another world. A storefront that houses two stages, a bar, a dragon head, and other oddities. We sit down with the company's founder, and we talk about the latest immersive sci-fi whodunit, the new improv show, how live-action role-playing is taking off, and how their mission is to unite gamers and theater nerds everywhere. Listen to the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.